Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Europe, right now in the grip of the war in Ukraine, and headlines. European gas prices soar after Gazprom halts supplies to Poland and Bulgaria. Subhead, Russian Energy Group says it has not received payment in rubles as decreed under a new law. The euro hits a five-year low against the dollar. Russia planning operations to destabilize pro-EU Moldova, officials warn. The war in Europe is now in everyone's home because the add-on effect of cutting gas supplies off to Poland and Bulgaria means that prices everywhere are rising and will continue to rise for natural gas. And we can say in a crisis like this, all commodities will suffer. Simon Constable, who writes for Forbes and Barron's and Time and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications, is in Great Britain observing what is now springtime and not as much dependence on natural gas for heating. But in any event, these are commodities that are going to destabilize the price ranges in these next days. Simon, a very good day to you. You have prepared us for this by watching commodities for months. For most of last year, there was always the concern of the recovery. Now, the war. Is this right now something that Britain, Scotland in particular, is prepared for? Are their reserves, are those fields in the North Sea, are they operating now or is that in future? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. I think the UK may be one of the least prepared places. Maybe they're getting prepared, but we see no evidence of that right now. And you're right. These things are all impacting us. We saw the European price of natural gas go up. The British price of natural gas hasn't moved, but it is quite warm here now compared to what it's like in the winter. And we're seeing other food prices. You know, food prices are basically elevated as well. So we're seeing that across the gamut. And looking at Brent crude oil, which is the European benchmark, it's now at about $104 a barrel. And, you know, just a few days ago, it was $101. So, you know, that may seem like small potatoes, but that's just in a couple of days. It's gone up a couple of percent. And that's not very good if you're relying on driving anywhere or heating your house or buying food, because when you get food, a big part of the cost of your food is petrol, gasoline, if you like, which is needed to drive the truck to the store that you buy things from.
It's called the cost of living in London headlines. And in the United States, we call it inflation. You've published most recently in Forbes an observation that not only the cost of living, aka inflation, but also the R word, recession, is in the speeches of many politicians in Europe. Is it inevitable? Has Europe now accepted the fact that a recession looms?
I don't think Europe has accepted that, but what we've got to remember, and it's particularly important when looking from a US lens, the growth rate in the US, the potential growth rate, is much higher in the US than it is in Europe. And that's because it has a very different type of economy. It's much less regulated in the US than it is in Europe. Europe's potential growth rate is around about 1% a year, whereas in the US, it's almost 2%. So it doesn't take much to push the European economy into recession compared to what it takes to push the US economy into recession. And it looks like Europe is getting hit far harder with these energy price woes. Now, remember, for consumers, when consumers don't have enough money, they don't go and spend stuff. But when businesses don't, they lose money and might lay people off. And it's that those layoffs and that reduced production that will really cause things to go into a recession in mainland Europe, I think. In the UK, we have much more of a service economy, so less reliant on energy than is a manufacturing economy like Germany. But yeah, I think a recession is headed probably for the final three quarters of the year. We're in the second quarter now, so second, third, and fourth quarters. Capital Economics is saying that's likely to be below zero growth, which is a recession. And it might not be a very deep recession, but still it will be a recession. Probably the U.S. misses out on that, which will be a good thing.
We come to one statistic to demonstrate how severe the news out of Europe will hit a Europe already weakened by natural gas prices. Within these last days, and these are old, out of date already, the natural gas price for a kilowatt hour in Europe was $96, translated into American dollars, 90 euros, $96. A year ago, April of 2021, coming out of the pandemic with the first of the vaccines, the same natural gas was 22 euros, about $25, $26 for a kilowatt hour. So the spike in prices already high is going higher now with the news from Europe. So let us turn from the European news, which is not likely to improve, to the investment thinking. Simon, everything's selling off because there's fear in the land about a recession, except for defense stocks. What do you see in the near term? You've written about this, Simon.
Well, let's step back a bit and think about the midterm elections, which are coming up. One thing we do know is that when the economy is weak, either through high inflation or through low employment, i.e. high unemployment, you tend to get incumbent parties thrown out. Well, the U.S. has low unemployment, so we can push that to the side. That hasn't changed much in the last 12 months. But what has changed is the inflation rate has got really high. We've also got an incumbent president who didn't really handle the withdrawal from Afghanistan very well, and that is going to stick in the craw of a lot of voters, not all of them, but a lot of them. And so you've got this sort of economic malaise with people suffering through higher bills every month, higher food bills, higher gas bills, all the rest of it. And we got midterm elections coming up, and it looks like there's a 75% chance or 3 in 4 chance of the Republicans taking both the House and the Senate. And that will very much limit what President Joe Biden can do while in office. It'll be limited to executive orders and things like that. However, there is one area where both parties agree, and that is on defense spending and the need to increase defense spending to counter the threat of a belligerent China. And that's where you could see increases in defense spending from the U.S. budget and the big contractors like General Dynamics and Northrop Grumman would do very well out of this by getting new contracts for, high-tech gadgets that can blow things up.
Home to Scotland. Nicola Sturgeon has been a strong leader of Scotland through the pandemic. The mandates have been in place a lot longer than they have been in the United Kingdom. And though there are questions everywhere about how we functioned without a stable economy during the pandemic, we're now leaving that behind us into recovery. Except Nicola Sturgeon recently has become controversial because of photographs of her without a mask during celebrations at some point, something similar to Partygate in London. Now I see there is political opposition forming around Nicola Sturgeon's intentions to hold a new Scottish independence referendum in the future. Driving this, I believe, Simon, is that Scotland wants to join the EU. Is that correct? And there must be anti-EU forces in Scotland. Or is this just parochial politics? When Sturgeon is weak, we can be strong. How do you see this, Simon?
Well, I see a part of that is that if Sturgeon is weak, then we can be strong, and why not? You know, if it's politics and you see an opening to attack an opponent, go for it. And that seems to be the way that it works in liberal democracies, like in the UK. Most of Scotland is very pro-EU, but there are a couple of issues for Nicola Sturgeon. The second one, and I'll deal with the second one immediately and then go to the first, which I realize is backwards. But look, Scotland would be a breakaway region of a united country. And that's not something that other European leaders will smile upon.
Right.
So if you look to Spain, you look at potential breakaway parts of Spain. They don't want Spain to break up. And so if Scotland gets into the EU, if it breaks away from the United Kingdom, then that would set a precedent for other breakaway movements to get the go-ahead. And I don't think most European leaders want to see their countries made smaller. So I think that may be a bit of a hurdle for Nicola Sturgeon to get over. The other thing is that the Brits, the English, I should say, down in London are doing everything they can to make sure that it's going to be really, really hard for Nicola Sturgeon and Scotland to break away. And there's a great piece in the Daily Express about the so-called dad's army of basically folks in the parliament finding ways to sort of get in the way, which include things like not paying for a completely different set of diplomats or defense spending, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. But basically, it's going to be like trench warfare with Nicola Sturgeon trying to get Scotland out of the UK.
Simon Constable, reporting for Barron's and Forbes and Wall Street Journal and Time from Scotland. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.